the midweek drive, zooming into the future and energized by the now.
Well, Richard Fitzwilliams is over in Greece, probably sorting out the Elgin marbles, and I'm sure he will in some way, shape or form, because he's that kind of soul. But the Midweek Drive Morning Edition continues ever onwards, and we have got Anna Koskinen in the house, obviously. We've got Fia van den Burgh with us as well, from, of course, the Netherlands. And, of course, from Cleethorpes, we have, of course, our songstress extraordinaire. That's Chloe Rose. How are you, Chloe? Chloe's currently on mute, which is unusual, actually, because as a singer, you'd think she'd actually be able to unmute herself and sort the way through in also wonderful ways. But never mind. In her own words, she'll probably say, it's all gravy. There we are. I'm using a Chloe Rose routine. Have you connected with us, Chloe, or are you still on mute? Yeah, you might have to unplug things and work a few other bits and pieces around whilst we're waiting for Chloe to kind of switch in the right mode to actually ensure we can actually hear her. I could describe her, but obviously that would just not do justice to the paragon of perfection that she is. Let's turn to Fia van den Burgh, because we're talking favourite festival films, etc. Is it a big thing in the Netherlands? Do you have favourite movies and favourite things which you tend to think, yeah, I'm always going to watch that?
I mean, not necessarily Dutch movies, but I mean, everyone has a favourite Christmas movie. I mean, who doesn't?
Well,
right?
Exactly. I mean, and according to the Independent film critic Alexandra Pollard, he's put together the top 20 greatest Christmas films. And in at number 20, actually, we have, curiously enough, The Santa Claus, which I've never seen, actually. Apparently, it's all about Tim Allen and his alter ego, Scott Calvin, who accidentally kills Santa Claus. Which is obviously a nice lighthearted start to the film. He then basically is expected to take his place and eventually actually becomes Santa Claus from that point of view. So maybe that's just a sort of case in point for that. Anna, what about yourself? Have you ever encountered the Santa Claus?
Yes, I did.
I did.
Many times.
Right. So I mean, I might well have seen it, just have blocked it out of my memory because of the trauma that was caused. But do you have in Bucharest, again, favourite festive films?
As Fia said, not particularly Romanian, but we do have a national TV channel that a few days before Christmas, every single year, plays all the Home Alone movies at the same hour, all Christmas movies that are well loved by everyone. And there's a small beginning before the movie starts where they say the same thing every year. Let's gather around, let's watch it. And I don't know, it's that cozy feeling and tradition that happens for over 17 years already.
Yeah, well, there we are. Well, I think Chloe's managed to sort out her challenges now. So, Chloe, welcome back to the Midweek Drive live. Well, not so much live, although we are recording it live. But how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you perfectly. It's all fine.
Thank you. Oh, thank goodness. Fabulous. I am very well. How are you? And it's Christmas nearly. Well, I've got the Christmas tree up today, so it's exciting.
Well, this is good. Yeah.
Yay.
So, Anna, it seems like only yesterday, but effectively it's over a week ago when we were watching Chloe perform at the Cargill Lecture Theatre together with Victoria Simmons, of course, etc. Have you recovered, Anna?
Barely. I still miss seeing them sing live.
Yeah. And Fia, have you as yet managed to actually download and listen to the full recording of the concert, which is now, of course, available online, where you can hear the whole thing, including the Q&A with Chloe Rose and Victoria Simmons?
No, please send me the link. I need to listen to it. I didn't even know.
There we are. Sometimes
please send me a link.
Well, these are all the challenges that we actually got, but never mind. You got there in the end, and that's the important thing. And Chloe, have you recovered from your first official university campus concert, and indeed first duet, double act with, or triple act, if you include obviously Harry David, with Victoria Simmons?
I feel like I'm still really, you know, buzzed and excited about what we actually did, because it was sort of the first time doing a live performance on Siren Radio with a full showcase and gig, and it was amazing. Oh, I just wanted to say a massive thank you to you, obviously, for all your support, and also Anna for doing an amazing job with social media. We really do appreciate it, and I can't say thank you enough, and I just want to make sure I get that message across to you both.
520 photographs Anna took, plus all her LinkedIn posts, and still it didn't reach the Netherlands and Fia van den Bogert. I don't know. Sometimes I just begin to wonder. Mind you, what the hey? Equally, I have to say, Chloe, that clearly the Q&A would have been a lot better if our original plan of a double act for presenters, a two-header in many ways, would have been manipulated and developed and used. Sadly, Sarah Huntley decided to take a paid job, and so she wasn't able to work on that basis. But Sarah, have you listened to the concert as yet?
I have, and I'm so sorry, Chloe, I wasn't there. It's just ironical. That's the first job, I hope he's not listening. My agent's got me this year. And it was that Saturday. So I'm so sorry. But please, I'm there for the next one. Please.
Oh, I'd love that.
And I downloaded it so I could listen in the car, going backwards and forwards this week. And actually, I was having a nifty little listen to it. And some of my students came and went, oh, what's that, Miss? And thanks to you and Alex, I think the credibility of me is like, really? Does an old girl like you listen to that kind of music kind of thing? And I went, oh, yeah, she's a friend of mine, actually.
Oh, that makes my day. Oh,
no, really, really well done. And I'm so, so sorry. But honestly, next time, it's unbelievable. You never get jobs on a Saturday. That's a bizarre thing, you know, but there we go.
Oh, listen, thank you so much. We'd love to have you. That'd be amazing.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. That is actually the number one festive movie as far as The Independent is actually concerned. But what about, Sarah, your favourite festive films? We've heard that Anna has to endure a non-stop Home Alone in Romania. Apparently that's all part and parcel of the whole sequence. Do you get It's a Wonderful Life over in Romania, Anna?
Oh, can you say again, please?
Do you get It's a Wonderful Life? Have you ever seen the movie?
I'm not sure, actually.
See. Home Alone, brainwashed. No, It's a Wonderful Life. Sarah, would you like to explain why this is such a great movie?
Yes, Alex, you know how dear to my heart this is. And you've just quoted, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. So if you haven't watched it, I'm sure 50% of the people listening have. It's an iconic film. Because, yes, it's set at Christmas and it has Jimmy Stewart, and it's about a man which we see him where he's just about to give in and end his life, really, because he decides there's so much that's gone wrong. What's the point?
It's and like then doing a concert for Chloe Rose and Victoria Simmons. I know the feeling so well.
the bell rang and it all came good, you see. Then there's this angel called Clarence, who isn't a typical angel, that's why I like it so much, who comes down and he's been sent down from heaven to take Jimmy Stewart's character back and show him in life, if he hadn't done this and if he hadn't done that, it's a bit like the film Sliding Doors, the consequences of how your life would have gone. And actually, when he goes back and shows Jimmy Stewart's character, who's married and finding it hard to keep the family going, and I won't bore you with the plot line, but there's lots and lots of reasons why most of us would think, my God, where do I go from here? And Clarence takes him on this journey and he revisits going back from when he was a boy, where there's a very significant scene where he actually saves someone's life.
His brother's life. Really, it's his brother who falls into the water and basically rescues
his brother, and his brother ends up, you know, he's very close to his brother, but brother's life ends up being much easier and more.
He becomes a war hero.
Yeah. And so he's the unsung hero, is what I'm trying to say. Alex is helping me out here. And right at the end of the film, oh gosh, it just makes me cry talking about it. But I think it's a brilliant film for Christmas time, because it's a spirit of Christmas that actually makes him realise what a stress he's come to. It's cold, it's wet. And it's a spirit of Christmas, a bit like Scrooge with a Christmas Carol, that makes it all come to a head and it all becomes right. But the reason you have, and it's not spoiling any plot lines, but when Clarence feels he's done his job as the angel and goes back up to heaven, he also has a problem. He wants to be promoted to that by God, to get his wings, to be a full-rate angel. And the last scene where they're all around a Christmas tree and it's about good and human nature. If you believe, I believe, basically most people in life are good, really. And that's what it comes through in the film. And suddenly, on the Christmas tree, the bell rings, which is a message from Clarence up in heaven. Thanks, mate. I've got my wings. So I always put that on Christmas cards. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. And it's a bit like the Peter Pan story. If you believe in fairies, you know, clap hard and a fairy somewhere won't die. So I haven't really explained it very well, but I think particularly with the state the world's in, with wars and lack of heating in lots of countries and it being so cold and people worried and stressed, if you watch this film, it radiates hope and it transcends through, I'm pretty religious, as Alex knows, but it transcends through every religion, I think, that the message is, to me, there is always hope and faith in human nature. And actually, none of us can see the full picture of where we are. And thanks to Clarence, he got his wings. And Jimmy Stewart goes on to see that how he viewed his life wasn't how others viewed it. And actually, he reassessed his life. So that would be my absolute number one film to watch for Christmas, if you haven't seen it. And I think it translates through every single language and society, really. I'll do that. And then I was just going to say, Alex and I being the same generation, you see, so having said that in one breath, what's a Christmas film? And we haven't got Fitzwilliams because he's gone off to sunny climes, hasn't he, this week?
He's sorting out the Elgin marbles.
Oh, that's what he's doing. I knew he'd be doing something very important. Yes. I think we were brought up, you see, on because there weren't so many films back in the 60s. So, for instance, Alex and I, what would be a good Boxing Day film was sitting with our mums and dads watching The Great Escape, which was a feel-good factor. They were Against All Odds or Cold Dits. Do you remember that, Alex? All of those.
I would have gone more for The Sound of Music, but there we are. That's a different line entirely. Or possibly even Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
And Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yes. After Kevin Abbey say that on a Sunday morning. Yeah, but those were the ones, and then I really, really have to recommend, and I'll shut up, but these ones, if you haven't seen, and they're just because they're in black and white, watch them. So another one, I suppose all of these are tied up with great family memories, but I love Alistair Sim in A Christmas Carol, and that's black and white, and that to me absolutely evokes Christmas. And now again, you see, it's never too late. It all changed. God bless us one and all. And then another one, which as a little girl, I always remember, and I'm sure Alex probably watched with his parents, was Singing in the Rain with Gene Kelly. That was just a wonderful, fun film. So those.
Not really sure whether that's a top festive film. However, having said that, returning to this list from The Independent, the apartment by Billy Wilder comes in at number 19, and then jumping up to Miracle on 34th Street, the 1994 edition with Richard Attenborough as Kris Kringle, of course, makes it to number 18. That's followed by The Holiday with Cameron Diaz from 2006.
Just watched it yesterday.
So The Holiday, are you a big fan of The Holiday then, Anna?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I didn't usually watch films until up, I think, 3 months ago or 4 months ago. I used to at some point, and then I totally stopped around, I think, 4 years ago for some reason, when I don't know, with all the social media happening, I just stopped watching even YouTube altogether. So now I'm trying step by step to start watching movies again, to start watching videos again. But I do read, so in my defense, I do read a lot, so that's good.
So, Chloe, you've been listening to Sarah's very loquacious rendition of the Frank Capra classic with Donna Reed and James Stewart, of course. Are you going to turn around and say that in the Chloe Rose household, you've never actually sat around and watched It's a Wonderful Life?
We have. It's actually my dad's favourite film of all. Similar to Sarah, really. He just feels like it encapsulates the spirit of Christmas. But a few you've mentioned there, I absolutely love. I mean, A Miracle on 34th Street is one of my favourite films since I was a young child. I do love to watch Scrooge, which it was something that my grandma got me into. The Holiday is hilarious. I was similar to Anna. I was only watching it 3 or 4 days ago. But I absolutely love The Grinch more than anything. And I think it's because it's the story of the Grinch. He's a bit of a villain, you know, he's not very nice at the start. And then he saves Christmas in the end and he turns it around. And I just think it's such a good, it's a feel good Christmas film, but there's so many that I absolutely love. I can't, you know, I'd say there's 3 or 4, Alex, from my side that I enjoy watching.
And Fia, is this prompting any memory from yourself in terms of aspects in the Netherlands of ways in which you can actually engage in overviewing what's been happening vis-a-vis Hollywood and stories and festive narratives and so on?
Yes, I mean, I want to buy a cottage and live in it and hopefully just be like Kate Winslet and what's his name? Oh no, the actor. Oh well, I just wanted him to come to my cottage and then I'll be fine for Christmas.
Is that Jude Law? You mean Jude Law?
Yes, Jude Law.
Oh, no way. Oh yes.
Yes.
Very good. Good choice.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And actually, this is a strange recommendation, but last year, when I celebrated Christmas in Lincoln, I did a 2-day marathon to watch Harry Potter for Christmas. So yes. If you want to watch, and it's not a typical Christmas movie, but if you want to watch just great movies that it has some small scene with Christmas and it's just beautiful, watch Harry Potter, just all of them. Yeah.
It's yes. Soul healer.
Alex. Special awareness that actually we have a special feature with the Grinch, indeed the actor who plays the Grinch in Universal Orlando Resort, which will be featuring in an upcoming Midweek Drive live edition in which he actually celebrates National Grinch Day and has a few interesting comments for a variety of other bits and pieces as well. Also coming up, don't forget, on the 13th of December for the Midweek Drive live, and maybe Sarah will be able to join us via the magic of Zoom at least, we'll be having our traditional choir in the studio. So there'll be a sort of full choral sequence
gosh,
there.
Yes, yes. That to me, oh Alex, that makes me think of Christmas, the time I was with you when the Salvation Army played Silent
well,
Night.
There you go, exactly. It's not the Salvation Army, of course, it's another Lincoln based choir that's actually there. So that's a little heads up in terms of our festive things. Let's get back to this list then. I see at number 15, White Christmas, the 1954 edition, actually makes it as far as the Independents actually concerned, of course, with Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, and the wonderful world which actually features White Christmas, and curiously, The Bishop's Wife from 1947 with Cary Grant, apparently the most charming angel to ever grace the silver screen, also actually has a name check in the Independents top 20. Die Hard, of course, comes at number 13, and then not the Alistair Sim version of A Christmas Carol, but the 1999 version with Patrick Stewart and Richard E. Grant actually makes it into the Independence list. Followed at number 11 by Meet Me in St. Louis, which of course is the Hollywood movie featuring Judy Garland, which features one of the best Christmas songs ever made. Well, obviously they hadn't heard Chloe Rose's Christmas song as yet then, but that's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Any of those, Sarah, that kind of you sort of think,
yes,
that's an interesting
yeah.
one.
I love Richard E. Grant. I was going to say, I was like, side, I know we're talking about films, but to me, Christmas, I love a good ghost story as well. And so the thing about ghost stories, they're usually not a film because they have to be quite short. So M.R. James, who each year used to write a ghost story and say it round an open fire in his university rooms to his students, some of those black and white, you can get them if you go on to, I don't know, you research it on YouTube or one of those. Those M.R. James stories are incredibly spooky and they last for about 45 minutes, are absolutely brilliant. And the other one that I really would recommend, but it's the television film version of it, not the Daniel Radcliffe film. No, that was okay. My goodness, The First Woman in Black, which was done as a television film, was so, so scary. And for me, the story to that, sorry to ramble on, but I do love my Christmas films, is the first Christmas I was going out with my husband, his family lived one end of some woods, and my family, my mum and dad's house, was the other side. And I watched The Woman in Black, and I had to drive back late through these woods, which was probably 15-minute journey. And it was, I was so scared to get in my little Mini to drive back. I had to put, this shows how old I am, I had to put a tape in the tape player and have Morecambe and Wise singing Bring Me Sunshine to try and cheer myself up to get back. It was really, really spooky. So if you can get hold of that, which was off for a long time because Susan Hill wouldn't allow it, I think because of rights reasons, to be played again on television. And each year, back in the day, sort of 45 years ago, they do a Christmas film, a ghost story, this company. And one of them was That Woman in Black, which was absolutely terrifying and really, really, really good for if you've got a group of friends around or just watching on your own with candles and all that kind of thing. But no, I think Christmas films are about ones that bring you close to people and remind you of wonderful memories of people who are no longer here. I think it's the same thing I'm saying about It's a Wonderful Life. You're a mixture, all of us, of your past, present and future, as in Scrooge. And I think that's the essence that we should take with us.
Indeed, Woman in Black, also a very popular stage play as well, which was very effective. Not quite as dangerous, I would have thought, driving a Mini through the woods in Britain as perhaps driving the woods of Transylvania. But maybe that's just a thing that Anna could actually help us with in terms of spookiness and various other elements as well. Number nine is Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, as far as the independents are actually concerned, followed by Carol from 2015 at number eight, with the whole sequence of Rooney Mara falling in love with a mysterious older woman in the run-up to Christmas. Welcome break, apparently, from heteronorm nativity, according to the independent. Happiest Season gets their number seven choice from 2020, which again is one I'm not familiar with. That's featuring Mackenzie Davis. And then number six, The Muppet Christmas Carol with Sir Michael Caine, yes. The 1992 version. Followed in the top five by Love Actually from 2003. The Snowman, of course, Walking in the Air, the classic feature at number four. Elf at number three. And then number two, Home Alone. Followed indeed at number one, the 1946 It's a Wonderful Life, which thankfully hasn't been remade as yet. Chloe, anything to add in terms of that?
Oh, I just love lots of those choices. I loved Love Actually because I like that all the sort of different stories intertwine and then they kind of add together because everybody's linked in some way. And it's just a great good feel. But Elf, oh my gosh, with Will Ferrell, he's a fantastic actor and he's so comical in it, and I just think the kids especially, it's just such a popular movie to watch. But I can see why It's a Wonderful Life is still number one. I think it is mostly every year, it's always right at the top. So fantastic movies. I just love Christmas. Enjoy it, everyone. Spend it with your family and your friends and give and listen to some lovely choir music.
We will be hearing, of course, your Christmas tune, which, of course, you regaled us with at the recent concert at the Cargill Lecture Theatre, the University of Lincoln. Chloe, would you just remind people where they can actually download your annual Christmas offering?
Oh, yes. So the song is called This Christmas. It is available on Spotify, on Amazon, on Google Play. If you just type in Chloe Rose, that's Chloe Rose, you'll find it on there. And, you know, some of it on iTunes, it's only 79p. So there you go. It's a bargain. Get yourself down and have a listen to This Christmas.
And not to be confused with Last Christmas, of course, completely different, yeah. Much more positive, you know, and just more upbeat from that whole side of things there, which is very important. Fia, we've gone through the full list of 20 movies as far as the independent are concerned. Anything, I mean, apart from Harry Potter, anything else that you'd see should be added? I mean, I would throw in On Her Majesty's Secret Service, the Bond movie, which features another classic Christmas number from Nina, which is Do You Know How Christmas Trees Are Grown, starring, of course, George Lazenby, as a good festive number. But what about yourself, Fia?
Oh, I don't know. Actually, I heard so many movies that I haven't watched yet. So I know what I have to do before Christmas. I mean,
we figured if we got Richard on, he would have talked for the whole 40 minutes about one thing. So in the end, we thought, well, he goes away. We can actually sort of start beginning to give a bit more breadth to the whole sequence. Sorry, Richard.
No, but I mean, I actually watched Love Actually last night because it's such a great movie. But I mean, I just rewatched the old ones because they're so good. And Love Actually, and also the Muppets version of A Christmas Carol is actually, I think it may actually be my favorite Christmas movie because, I mean, for kids it's fun, for the entire family it's just a great movie to watch. So that one.
And it does seem, given that we're in the Zoom room for this particular piece, it looks as though you actually got an elf costume to the side there. I mean, are
It
you doing
looked.
some elf scenario things in the near future as far as the Dutch version of Christmas is all about?
Well, it looks like an elf costume, but it's actually an Oktoberfest costume.
Double
So,
usage, double use. Why not Oktoberfest and then sort of
I
to Christmas as
mean,
well?
yeah,
Fantastic.
maybe
Well, there you
it's
go.
a very
There you
sweet
go.
costume. Yeah, with the red, it could work, maybe, but maybe a bit cold though. So.
Yeah.
Maybe a
And
jump.
probably needing some green as well. Anna,
Yes.
again, we've covered a whole smorgasbord of movies from that point of view. Any that we've missed out from your own particular movie watching scenarios, or are you still saying, no, you cannot beat all Home Alone movies back to back every time because that's the Romanian way?
Well, I do like Home Alone, but it's the tradition that I like, and as Sarah was saying, just gathering around with your loved ones and then reminding yourself of the ones that you used to have with you and watch the movies with you. But I have a lot of movies to watch now. But one movie that I watched, I think 3 or 4 years ago, and it was with my grandma as well and my mom, so it stuck with me, was one name, I think the Christmas, The Spirit of Christmas. I think it's from 2015, I'm not sure. And it's about a ghost that comes from the 800s, and he died right before Christmas or on Christmas Day, and he's just trying to find out how and what happened. And of course the whole story of falling in love, and then he decides he wants to have the chance to spend his life with the girl that he loves. It's an amazing movie, and actually it just reminds me of that whole family spirit, and I do intend to watch it, especially because I'm having Christmas here in Lincoln away from my mom, so I'll have marathon with her to watch Christmas movies together on Zoom probably.
Sophia, you had this experience last year when, obviously, as someone from the Netherlands, you are also in Lincoln for Christmas. What advice would you give Anna when she's actually having to cope with the excitement of regular fire alarms where she's woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning to actually stand outside in the freezing cold and so on and
No.
so forth?
Oh no, that's terrible. Well, big recommendation, go to the cathedral because they have lovely services there, and it's so wonderful to be a part of, and for just Christmas Day, just enjoy it with your friends, just make dinner, and it's a sad but also wonderful experience to enjoy, to be away from home, but also experience it with new people, and just make the best of it. Watch make what make a Harry Potter marathon. It's fun.
Yeah, totally. The Harry Potter one, I agree 100%.
And Sarah, any sort of closing thoughts from yourself?
Well, I just think it's wonderful that we all are talking, and I feel very Christmassy just listening to all of that. One I just suddenly thought of, which small people like, is the Polar Express, the cartoon, and the snowman. That's another one for younger people. And I think, yes, I am thinking of you alone in Lincoln, but you're not alone. You've got us family. And I'd say that it's interesting, isn't it, with Christmas, because everybody thinks about Christmas Day as the pinnacle of the pinnacle, as Mrs. Malaprop would say. But I actually think it's about learning to save traditions, but do new traditions, and bring new people into your Christmas, especially when you're honoring the memory of people that aren't there, very much so, but they would want you to be with other people. And I think, Anna, what this Christmas will do in Lincoln is you'll have some fun, and you'll have a different kind of Christmas. And if anything, it will heighten your Christmas when you're back with them. But it all if you know, as Carly Simon says, I know nothing stays the same. And if you're willing to change the, play the game, it's coming around again. If you were to do the same thing every year, it would change anyway. So I think that's my thing. And my mum was really good, actually. She used to say, right, I remember one Christmas, it was particularly difficult because we'd lost my aunt, who was amazing actress and very fun and silly person. And so she decided to do something totally different that Christmas so that we couldn't keep thinking about what it had been like and to do different things. And then as the Alan Ayckbourn side of things with plays about Christmas, oh my goodness, we've all got the bit of Christmas we don't want to do, where people sort of fall out. And so therefore, just think, Anna, you haven't got all those difficult people or my sister in law that causes chaos. And, you know, the family arguments that ensue, the political conversations is when I'm sure everyone has those or has had those. So you think, ah, so actually you're out of all that, which is a really good thing, I think. So there's, I think you've got to find it, haven't you? Just got to keep finding it.
And of course, it is the incarnation of the Son of God in terms of the real meaning of Christmas.
Absolutely.
But of course, it's a holiday season
kind of
as well.
I missed that one out, didn't I? Well, sorry.
It's okay.
What is Christmas about, Sarah Huntley? Yeah, absolutely.
Chloe, any closing thoughts from yourself? I mean, we will obviously be continuing with the Zoomers and various other packages for the Siren Radio listener over the festive period and so on. So anything you'd like to add to what Sarah's been saying?
I just think enjoy it, spend time with your friends and think about all the good things you've done this year that you've achieved. You know, I'm sure there's many things that you've done that is absolutely amazing, and just think about those memories, share stories with each other and yeah, just enjoy it. Listen to music and make a snowman if you can, if there's plenty of snow, because I always love to do something like that every year. So enjoy it, my love.
Fia, are you coming back to Lincoln sometime in 2024?
I want to. I'm planning to. Maybe I would love to come in May. So,
Good choice. Good choice. Yeah. Or indeed, you know, if you go for June, of course, you got the Lincolnshire show, which you missed last time around.
Yes.
So, you know, there's all
True.
Sorts of things with that.
Oh, maybe I could come for the Lincolnshire. Yes, that's a good idea.
Well, there you are. For the moment, though, to Sarah Huntley, to Chloe Rose, to Fia van den Boga, to Anna Koskinel, Richard Fitzwilliams will be back for our next session, presumably next week. But keep on keeping on. We won't say happy holidays as yet, because I think we're in Advent, and it's the shortest Advent forever, really, because literally just 3 weeks of Advent and so on. And by the time you're listening to this, it'll be less than that, probably 2 weeks if you're listening on the Thursday morning. But keep on keeping on. And remember, Sarah, that immortal quote from It's a Wonderful Life.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Have a happy holiday, gather around the Christmas tree. This Christmas, waking up to hear the sound, snow is falling on the ground. This Christmas, shining bright by candlelight. Loved one standing by his side. Don't be alone this Christmas. Smiling faces all around. Come on down, let's paint the town red and white this Christmas. Yeah, this Christmas. So have a merry Christmas. Stockings to the brim this Christmas. Choir singing at the door. Snowman building all the lawn. Let's have some fun this Christmas. Set the table, write the cards. Bring the food and live at large. Don't be a Scrooge this Christmas. Oh, this Christmas. So Christmas, share a lot of Christmas wishes. Enjoy yourself.
Well, what are the UK's most bingeable television and movie moments? They have been revealed. They've been revealed, of course, courtesy of Amazon Prime, and they are quite interesting in terms of the range we've got there. Titanic, Star Wars, E.T., Jurassic Park, of course, all coming into the 10 greatest blockbusters. And the 10 greatest comedy series of all times, being Only Fools and Horses, Blackadder, Friends, The Vicar of Dibley, and so on. We need an expert to actually sift through the chaff here. And so we're delighted to actually welcome TV and film critic extraordinaire Ashanti Umkar to the programme. How are you, Ashanti?
Hey, Alex. Very good, thank you. Great speaking with you.
Likewise. So, I mean, the message that came across when I was sharing this with colleagues, I mean, this wonderful Prime Video survey, I suppose it is nostalgic. I mean, even the iconic reality TV moments were looking pretty much to Kim Kardashian crying after losing her diamond earring in the ocean, from, of course, Keeping Up with the Kardashians and so on. Were there any surprises from your own point of view? Or were there any surprise omissions which you thought, well, why no sign of, for instance, Sheldon's wonderful series in The Big Bang Theory?
Absolutely. One of the things I felt was this list feels exactly as you described, nostalgic. I think people are looking at characters they learned, like lived with, characters that, you know, became like their own friends from just watching. And Friends is on this list also. Mm-hmm. You know, it just goes to show that people are looking at those classic characters that were their friends and embrace them. They're the people that they can go back to without having thinking, you know, without thinking about who is this character? What are the inclinations of this character? What is this character looking for? Which is what, when something brand new comes out, you're learning so much about a new person. Whereas going back to those people you already know, going back to a Del Boy and Rodney, for example, with Only Fools and Horses, you know, that one, it's available to rent on Prime Video. And those are 7 seasons. That's a lot of time that we gave to these old characters. I remember I was a child. I didn't get most of those jokes back then. But as I grew up, right, yeah, we kept watching them again and again. And we kind of felt like they were companions, kind of slightly dodgy companions, but still they were there as part of our lives. And we've met people like that. We've actually encountered them. So it's like, yes. And, you know, we still say that. It's almost like saying, I'm Googling something. You'll say, that's a Del Boy type character. We still say that, don't we?
Mm-hmm. I mean, interesting enough, I mean, talking about age, of course, Michael Crawford as Frank Spencer in Some Mothers Do Have Them makes the top 10. Which, I mean, if I said, Betty, you'd sort of think, well, where's he taking the interview now, basically? It's a different line entirely. And I'm not wearing a beret either, so I'm just clear on that. But, you know, Blackadder, obviously, at number 2. We've talked about Elves and Fools and Horses, Friends, The Wicked Vicar and Dibley. Is this because when we look back, and this is obviously something Amazon Prime is wonderful at providing these openings up for new experiences, we kind of feel, well, somehow our current experience just doesn't match that? Or is it a case that the current generation will have their own favourites that might include, I don't know, South Park and The Simpsons again?
Oh, yes. I guess it's part of, you know, what our parents watched. I feel like this is a list that shows us that we are leaning towards those things. You know, you're looking at the Kurt Cobain documentary, for example, Montage of Heck, which is available again to rent. And you're saying, you know, is this generation into Kurt Cobain? Not surprisingly, of course, Amy's there and Senna is there. These are slightly newer. But, you know, for a lot of people, going backwards and leaning towards what parents told them about, you know, your parent might have taken you to see The Lion King, for example. And that's appeared, not surprisingly, on this list because it's something that you grew up with. You've tried to watch in different iterations, whether it's in theater, whether it's a new live action version of it, or whether it's that classic Lion King. You're remembering those moments that stayed with you. And a part of it is that it's almost like a reminiscence bias that we have. As we grow older, it's that old music that we're listening to and saying, oh, back in the day, I was listening to R&B because my ex used to play it in the car. And it's a memory that stayed with you for so long. And that's what this list really looks like in many ways.
Maybe a negative memory if it was your ex, of course, but that's another line entirely. The major surprise I did have in terms of the top 10 greatest blockbusters was the absence of Bond, James Bond. You know, I mean, I thought that was part of the prime scenario. Not a single Bond movie in the top 10.
It is true. It is so true. I was actually expecting to see at least one of those Bond movies. Mm. And I feel like, again, this list, when you look at this list, some of these are more children friendly. James Bond was always for the adults, wasn't it? And I guess, again,
Christmas without James Bond, almost inconceivable, surely.
Well, I guess for a lot of the generation, and this is the list is curated from 1,000 people who have responded from across the country of different ages. So one of the reasons, I guess, is that a lot of people are still leaning towards those films that they watched, you know, Lord of the Rings, that kind of epic that they sat and watched so many hours, and, you know, watched all the different, kind of, what's the
iterations.
Word? Iterations of it. Let's call it iterations of it, because there's obviously a new version of that also that has recently appeared. But again, all of these Harry Potter, for example, again, it's something where a lot of the people responding were probably brought up reading those books and then watching the movies. And those movies themselves are 20 years old now.
Yeah. And then burning the books because they didn't agree with the author, but that's another line entirely. Amazon, of course, guided by four principles: customer obsession rather than competitive focus, passion for invention, commitment to operational excellence, and long-term thinking. A list like this can only help Amazon's, it's Jeff Bezos, will be very happy with this company that he founded, of course. Earth's most customer-centric company, Earth's best employer, and Earth's safest place to work. I feel as though I'm inspired just by talking about that. Finally, in terms of the sort of sequence, one interesting thing, which obviously wasn't covered by this thing, but was from my own research, I hadn't realized just how popular Friends was in Romania until speaking to some Romanian students who were devastated recently, obviously with the sad loss of Mr. Perry, etc., Friends was very popular. Game of Thrones, of course, and Breaking Bad in the top bingeable TV shows of all time. Ashanti, what would your bingeable TV show be of all time?
Of all time? I have to say it still goes down to something like, if I would pick two, one would still be Friends for me, because I kind of grew up on Friends and it gave me a lot to look at in life. You know, to say that life doesn't need to be perfect in order for you to live it. But the other one for me, and I'm choosing two different genres, because Doctor Who, for example, is nice. It's a British classic. It's such Indeed. A classic, right? And it's 60 years old now, and it's just wonderful that we can reminisce on the nostalgia, but also it gave us that kind of the ethereal what's out there, you know, that we like to see. And that's why something like Star Wars is number two on the greatest blockbusters. I'm not surprised about that, because it's something that captured our imaginations in such a way.
Absolutely. And again, I think I probably have to go via Star Trek as opposed to Doctor Who, but that's because that's with Paramount Plus. But still, there you go. That's another line, which you can get through
Amazon. It's available. So,
exactly. Yeah, just like BritBox is available as well from that point of view, which is why Blackadder appears. So does Mr. Bean, Dad's Army, and others. Where can people find out further details, Ashanti, of the full survey of greatest comedy series of all time, the bingeable TV shows, blockbusters, groundbreaking documentaries, and iconic reality TV moments? Where would you point them?
An easy way to get there is amazon.co.uk/about, or follow Amazon News UK, all one word.
Ashanti, it's been awesome connecting with your good self.
Likewise, Alex.
Hopefully we'll speak again in the very near future. Ashanti Onkar, TV and film critic extraordinaire. Huge thanks. See you soon.
Thank you.
Now, regular listeners to the Midweek Drive will know that we were keen followers of the late Alexandra Bastido's Animal Sanctuary. We also very much supported Annette Andre's work with Arthur Weingarten over in San Diego. And it's fantastic to know that the good work with respect to our animal friends is continuing with two fantastic individuals. We're delighted to welcome them today to talk about interesting experiences they're having with bears and more. Of course, you may know them for being in such fantastic aspects as Downton Abbey, Beach House, a whole range of things. We're delighted to welcome Leslie Nicol and Peter Egan to the program. Leslie and Peter, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
Hi, we're good. Thank you.
Excellent. Great to connect with you, good self. Now, Leslie, I was fascinated to look at your particular story, which you do need to share with the listener, and your connection with a bear in particular. So tell us about the bear.
Okay. Well, I and Peter and I, in fact, are ambassadors for a charity called Animals Asia, in case people don't know of that. They want to look at it. It's animalsasia.org. It's a wonderful, wonderful organisation. We both went over to one of their sanctuaries in Vietnam last July, because there having to open a third sanctuary because they're about to end bear bile farming in Vietnam. And that means that there will be over 300 bears to rescue. So we went to the groundbreaking ceremony in their new sanctuary in Bach Mar. So we were at their sanctuary in Tam Dao. We were visiting the quarantine area, which is where the bears are taken when they're rescued. They have to stay there for 45 days to keep the other bears safe. There were seven bears just recently rescued. We were walking along, looking at them. They were in various states of distress, confusion, bewilderment. They're very frightened. They don't know what's happening, but they are, of course, finally safe in a good place, and they don't yet know that. So they were all a little bit twitchy and a bit scared. And then at the end, there was this one bear that was big and charismatic and sitting there playing with some bamboo up on his hind quarters. He was fascinating, and he was quirky and playful. And I sang to him, and as I hosed him with water, and he turned his head on one side to me. And it was just a very interesting and bizarre encounter, but it felt very meaningful. And I said to Jill Robinson, who runs the charity, I said, Jill, does this remind you of anybody? And she said, 100%, yes. I lost my husband last year in May, and this was in July. She knew him very well, Darbs. And she said, that's Darbs. It's completely reminds me of your husband. And I said, I know. So I adopted him. He had been called, nicknamed King at that point. He since then has been known as King Darbs, and we both saw him last week, thriving.
Fantastic. Very appropriately named, I have to say, as King Darbs as well.
He'd like that. He would like that. I mean, he was a good Leo.
I suppose you could say it could be Emperor. I mean, the next one up, but maybe King is fine.
You're still right.
He is, I can second, the most beautiful bear, and does have all of the wonderful qualities of Darbs. He's a wonderfully funny, cuddly, big bear. He's wonderful.
Peter, let's talk about your own connection with Animals Asia. I mean, what was it that appeals to your good self? Because obviously there are an awful lot of animal sanctuaries that are actually out there, an awful lot of charities doing excellent work, of course. But why in particular did you feel drawn to Animals Asia?
Well, it's interesting you should mention there are lots of other charities, because I am sort of known in the trade as the man who can't say no. So I am a trustee, patron or ambassador for over 20 different charities throughout the world, which I'm very proud of. I commit myself to charities that I believe in. So I cover a wide section of species from elephants, rhinos, and but bears are very close to my heart. I first became an ambassador for Animals Asia back in 2012, when Jill Robinson invited me to come on as an ambassador for their dog and cat program, Professor Paws and Dr. Dog. And she liked very much, she felt that my attitude was very much in tune with the attitude of Animals Asia and hers, of course, because she is the founder, and it's a pyramid situation. It comes from the top, and she is brilliant and inspiring and compassionate and inspires everyone who works for her. So I met her, and she said, why don't you come out to the sanctuary in Chengdu in China? Because they have sanctuaries in China and sanctuaries, as Leslie said, in Vietnam, two in Vietnam, one in China. And so I went to Chengdu. I didn't know what to expect. And it's very difficult. Whenever I start talking about bears and sanctuaries, I get a bit choked up. So forgive me for being a bit woolly there. I walked into the sanctuary and I just felt like I was in heaven. It's so peaceful. It's very different in quality to the sanctuaries in Vietnam, which are very tropical. The sanctuary, which was equally beautiful, of course, but the sanctuary in Chengdu is very flat. And there were 120 bears. And I just walked around and saw these bears close up. What is wonderful about the work that Animals Asia does is that they, at the same time as protecting the species, because they will never survive in the world because of the cruelty that has been imposed upon them, they create enclosures with enclosure furniture, which replicates to a degree the demands they would make in the wild, foraging for food, climbing frames, trees, etc., etc. And to have the privilege of seeing these magnificent animals close up, but in a very unobtrusive way, because you can't obviously interrelate or interact with them. I just found it breathtaking, and I found the attention that Jill and her staff give to the needs of these damaged bears. They have full health checks. They have operations when they arrive Most of them have to have their gallbladder removed because it's so damaged because of the horrendous business of bile extraction on bile farms in China and soon never to happen again in Vietnam. And I just found, one, I fell in love with bears. Two, I fell in love with the work that, excuse me, that this great charity does for these bears. So it was a very holistic overall this emotional impact that I had. And while I was there, I made a little film in the graveyard, and I said I'll be attached to this charity for as long as I live.
Which will be for many, many years.
I hope it will be for many, many years. And indeed. I'm glad to say that 13 years down the line, I'm as passionate, if not more passionate about them as I was then.
Turning to yourself, Leslie, if we may, one of the things that an awful lot of people certainly experience in the Western world is what, as I refer to the students, is the Disneyfication or the anthropomorphization of animals. We kind of tend to imprint our own human characteristics on animals to a certain extent. Is that helpful when it comes to obviously setting up animal sanctuaries, or is it a case of you've got to bring in the animal experts, the behaviorists, the people who actually do understand what the animal's needs actually are?
Well, that's what they have in abundance. They are world experts. This is not a cushy, wishy-washy, oh, let's cuddle the little bears and call them fluffy. That's not what it is. These people are absolutely at the top. I mean, the three sanctuaries, or the two sanctuaries, are globally recognised as amongst the best in the world. The staff are fully, fully trained. I mean, they're so knowledgeable. Jill Robinson probably knows more about bears than anybody else on the planet. So this is not a sentimental place in any way. It comes from a scientific approach. They know exactly what the bears need to flourish. It all comes from a place of compassion and kindness. They understand what they can give to these bears, and they give it to them. So the fact that they have a name is not because they're being kind of twee about it. What they're really saying is these bears have been crushed in cages, sometimes up to 20 years, unable to move, having their bile extracted in the cruelest way, leaving it open. It's a kind of cruelty. It's almost, you can hardly bear to talk about it. It's so horrific. So what they get when they come to Animals Asia, to the sanctuary, they call it, makes me want to cry, they call it coming home, and they are coming home, because they get a name. They've never had a name, they've been a number. It's about respect. It's not about being sentimental. They have, when they die, and sometimes they just can't sustain life because they've been so damaged, they get a funeral. That's not some sort of mushy event. It's very respectful. Everybody comes to it and pays their respects. It's basically, Alex, how the world should run, frankly. You kind of come away going, God, I wish we could do this in real life, because it's all about respect and kindness and care. It's all the stuff that we want to have in the world. And that's what the sanctuary is. There's nothing woofy and sort of sentimental about it, not for a second.
Well, I think you've raised a number of very key and important points there. Peter, if people who've been listening to this particular feature on Animals Asia with yourself and Leslie wish to get involved, wish to support it, where would you actually point them?
I'd point them to their websites, animalsasia.org, or onto their Twitter page, Animals Asia. Just Google handle Animals Asia. All the information is there. Facebook, just Google Animals Asia. It's very comprehensive.
And also, can I say, some people get afraid when you talk about the cruelty involved, and they go, oh, no, I can't look at that. Don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid. If you go on their website, you will see a lot of very reassuring, wonderful stories. The rescues, you can watch the rescues live on Twitter, better than any telly going, to be honest. Beats an episode of Downton Abbey. I didn't say that, but it's true. I mean, they're very dramatic and they're very uplifting, and you know, it's a great thing to have a look at if you haven't.
Also, if you have children and you want to have some fun watching baby moon bears having a foam bath, you can do the most enchanting experience anyone can get to see. A little baby, a moon bear having a moon bath is so touching and funny, and it's just brilliant. They do brilliant work. the most wonderful chat. Also, in terms of the informational thing you were talking about earlier, when Jill decided that she was going to take this on back in the 90s, over 30 years ago, the first person she rang was Virginia McKenna, who had founded Born Free, the Born Free Foundation. Mm-hmm. She got lots of advice. Most important advice from Virginia was just do it, and you will learn on the way. Mm-hmm. And they did. They approached all of the experts during that period of time. And as Leslie said, Jill is now the foremost expert on bears throughout the world. So their backup is just phenomenal.
Well, it's been terrific actually sharing some thoughts from both of your fine souls about this very important aspect of our shared existence on the planet, which is very important. I'd probably, Leslie, say it's better than watching I'm a Celebrity. Nothing could beat Downton Abbey in terms of the whole soul sequence. But there you go. For the moment, though, to Leslie Nicol and to Peter Egan, huge thanks. Hopefully we'll speak again in the not-too-distant future and talk more about Candles Asia.
Yes,
wonderful. Thanks very much.
Thank you.